We're back to the Neil Haley Show. And, you know, it's always interesting to meet entrepreneurs that have been able to be innovative. And this guy is definitely an innovative guy. I'm excited to welcome to the program Michael Gorton. He's the CEO of Recuro Health. Michael, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Hey, Neil. Good to see you.
All right. So let's talk about, when did this entrepreneur journey start? Was it at a young age you were not, had that entrepreneur mindset?
Yeah, I think it was 12 and I didn't get an allowance. And so I had to go start a TV guide route. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
We still had TV guides.
And I did the newspaper route. That's yep. Changed too. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I know exactly. So you knew that whole bug was there, but when did it kind of come to fruition in your first business? When did that
happen? I was the only job I ever had where I didn't start the company was working as an engineer for the power company. And, you know, one day I was in the chief engineer's office and I needed something. And he said, we don't need great engineers. We're the power company. And I just sort of slumped in my chair and went, all right, I'm going to go do something else.
And then that's when you had the mindset of entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah. I went off and started my own deal.
And you kind of were innovative in many ways. As again, being in the Hall of Fame, in Texas Hall of Fame, Business Hall of Fame and all that stuff. So kind of explain specifically the innovations that you were able to develop.
So I think really from an innovation perspective, I started a company called Internet Global, which was my second company. And it was at the very beginning. Nobody knew what the internet was. I had to go to Rotary clubs and chambers of commerce and give talks. And I would tell them, this is an email address and this little at sign, you know. So, I mean, that's how fundamental it was back then. And some people thought he's a kook. And some people thought, wow, I wonder if this thing is real, you know. But the internet company took off. It was one of those really hard to build companies. But if you build it, they will come, and people were signing up like crazy. And then we said, okay, everybody else is doing this now. There were probably 500 internet companies in Texas, by the end of the second year that we were doing it. And so we said, okay, let's find other things we can do. So we built higher speed internet. We added voice over IP so we could do our phone calls on internet. And that's what ultimately got us popped.
Okay. So, and then that's came these other innovations from there, right?
Right. Yep. So we had a nice liquidity event from Internet Global.
That's fantastic. And then figure out what to do next, right?
Right.
And how do you look at that, especially in the marketplace today? What would you say is the big thing to look at now in this time period?
Well, you know, I think I'm building one of them. There's probably a lot of things that are happening right now.
Right.
There's things that are happening in space. There's things that are happening in healthcare, tech. I'm back in the healthcare sector just because, you know, as the founder of Teladoc, I think we created something that launched a $250 billion industry.
Yeah, it did.
It didn't fix the big problem. You know, the big problem is, healthcare costs are still going up. And people are still, you know, not feeling well, going to their physician, and the physician is saying, I'm sorry, Neil, you have stage 4 cancer. So, you know, how do you go from playing kickball with your kids, you know, not feeling well, to stage 4 cancer? So that's the next big thing that needs to get fixed. And that's what Recuro is doing.
Very, very interesting. So can I go back a little bit to Teladoc really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Were you one of the first when it came in?
Well, so we didn't create the idea. The idea was created by Jay Sanders back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. We found out why nobody had built a telemedicine company. About 2 years into it, we went to the board of medical examiners and they said, you know, you're going to go to prison if you build this company. So it was, you know, obviously there were a lot of technical challenges building medical records, putting together doctors in all 50 states, you know, all of those challenges, you know, finding customers, how do you fund it? All those things had to get done. But the bigger problem that was sort of the the evil thing behind the scenes was the bureaucracies that did not want it to happen.
No.
That was the problem we really had to solve.
And then how did you solve it? That's the...
So apparently everybody before had used lawyers, guns, and money. And behind me, right here, there's a little thing that says judge, jury, and executioner. And people walk into my office and they think, oh, you're the judge, jury, and executioner. And that's not why I have that there.
Okay.
I have it there because the Board of Medical Examiners has their own court system.
Okay.
And they oversee the activities of physicians. So if they don't like what you're doing, you don't win. They truly are judge, jury, and executioner.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, everybody before who had tried to build telemedicine companies thought, we've got a lot of money, we'll hire great lawyers, we'll go in there with lawyers, guns, and money. And they lost, right? So what we did was we said, let's go in with thought leadership. Let's show them how their lives are going to get better, how their physicians that they support and oversee is going to get better, and how the patients in the state are going to get better. That was the pathway we took. And it was a long one in some cases, you know, but ultimately you can see it. We have a telemedicine industry today.
Exactly. And so were you at right the cusp before everybody, and then it all took off, and that was, you were like one of the leaders in this whole process once it finally did take off?
Yeah. So Dr. Brooks and I started Teladoc in 2002. There was nobody on the landscape. And 2004, early 2004 is when the Board of Medical Examiners said we were going to go to prison. And so it was probably 2005 when we figured out, okay, this is how we convince them. This is how we convince them. And then maybe 2006 is when we started seeing Consult-a-Doc and Phone-a-Doc and Dial-a-Doc and la-la-la-la-la-la-doc, right? So that's when the competition started coming in. American Well, which is now Amwell, with number 2, I think they came in around late 2007 or early 2008.
You know, and we're going to get to your company now. It just seems like you're there before everybody else is there, which is really the right thing. Internet, you're there before everyone else is there on the internet. Telemedicine, you were there before everyone else was there. And now, I guess, with your new company, the same thing. How do you figure these things out? What made you, you're an engineer that basically said, you know what, I don't want to work for other people. I don't work. It has to be study. It has to be something. You're figuring things out. It's kind of like you're involved in these kind of businesses, kind of like Gary Vee understands the internet and digital marketing. You understand businesses and finding the right places to invest and be involved in, it seems like. How do you have that gift?
So I don't know that. Ask my mom. Here's what I will tell you. I think you may just be old enough to remember Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah.
Remember the song, I Want a New Drug?
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of brilliance in that, because basically what he's saying is there's this beautiful woman or woman that he's in love with or whatever. He wants a drug that makes him feel like he feels when he's with her, right? And so when you build a company, it's high. And so, you know, what I tell people all the time is, I want a new drug, one that makes me feel the way I feel when I build a company, you know, that changes everything.
Right.
So thanks, Huey Lewis. I don't know where you are these days, but that was a cool idea.
I need to have them on my show. I interview all these celebrities. I saw a laundry list of celebrities, but I got to go after Huey Lewis, right?
Yeah, you should go after Huey Lewis.
Exactly.
I bet Huey Lewis has used telemedicine. So we can say, hey, Huey.
So that's what he said. I provide an opportunity for people to co-host with me. So that might be maybe an option for you. You know, we could talk about that. So we're talking, you know, specifically about this new business, that you're kind of going into the fact that you think that we're identifying illnesses too late. We're finding out people have cancer. We're finding out they have, you know, someone ended up having some serious illness, and it's too late when they go to the doctor. What is your hope with this company to stop that from happening?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things that our healthcare system is not doing well. We're not being innovative and using the tools that science and engineering is bringing to the fray. But the other thing that we're not doing well, and I think COVID is a really good example of it, is we're not recognizing that the best medicine, in spite of all of the great innovation that's happened, the best medicine is right in here. Our immune system can handle almost everything that comes at it, except when it's overtasked. And so how do we inspire the immune system to stay strong? That's one of the things that you have to do. But the other thing is you have to catch things before they get so big that they're catastrophic. So, you know, I'm playing kickball with my child and not feeling well, go to the doctor, and the doctor says stage 4 cancer. So what happened to 1, 2, 3? What, you know, where were the symptoms? Where were the things that were happening inside?
Exactly.
You know, here's a really good analogy that almost always works. When was the last time you ran out of gas driving down the highway?
That is never.
Yeah. Why? Because you got a gauge, right?
Yes, a gauge.
You don't have a gauge here. We don't have something that says, hey, guess what? Your cancer count. So you have cancer cells in you right now. I do, and everybody on the planet does.
Right.
And, you know, they're 10 million, 100 million. It's when they get to a billion where we start getting concerned. And so, you know, how do we watch those trends? Well, it gets really expensive if you have to go in for testing or whatever every single day. But we have tools nowadays that say that are predictive analytics, or what in the healthcare system we call risk assessment.
Okay.
And so if you take a genomics test, and Angelina Jolie is a really great example, because she took one, she found out she had a certain gene, and she went, I don't want to fight this battle. I'm going to take care of it now. So it's sort of a famous case that we'll remember for a long time. But if you take a genomics test and you know that you have a medical proclivity for diabetes, then you should start watching it. You should start doing the things ahead of time to make sure your immune system doesn't hit that stress point.
I'm familiar with some of these genetics testings that were out there. Is that more what you're talking about specifically? The cancer types of tests that people should be taking to see if they're...
Well,
yeah.
If we run a general panel and then we use that panel to say, Neil is different from Susan. And so if we want to, like I could send 500 tests to your house every year, medical tests, and you're drawing vials of blood and doing everything. But if I start with the genomics test, I can say, okay, I'll send a box to your house. You clip your hair, you pee in a cup, you prick your finger, you do a few things. And your wife does the same thing. But when it comes back to us, I use her genomics panel to use that hair to do different tests than yours.
Right.
Right. So you starting with that as a baseline, and genomics are just going to get better and better. You know, it hasn't been that around that long, but the reality is that the number of things that we can detect and predict are growing dramatically.
So what is the difference between cancer DNA testing and genomics testing? Almost the same thing?
Well, yeah. So in one case, we're looking for things in the genome that suggest you're going to have a strong probability of something. Then a cancer test itself is if I say, okay, you have a proclivity for colon cancer, and I can start sending you colon cancer tests. So that thing about you go to the doctor and he says stage 4, well, I'm going to make sure that number one, you're doing the things that we know, and this will continue to improve, but we're doing the things that you know, or we know right now, will help prevent it. And number two, we're going to monitor it. So if we see 10 million cancer cells and all of a sudden it's 30 million and then 100 million, now we know, okay, this is pre-stage 1. So now let's get in and treat it before it becomes something. And so at Recuro, what we say is we're using something that we call a digital medical home. So we don't want you to have to go into a facility unless you're absolutely
okay.
That's a digital medical home. But we will use the digital medical home to catch things before they become expensive and dangerous. Stage 4 cancer, expensive and dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost you a lot of money, and it is going to change your life. If I use the car analogy, so running out of gas, you just sort of pull over to the side. But now imagine in the car analogy that you're not checking your tires, and you're going 75 miles an hour in rush hour, and you have a blowout.
Yeah.
That's stage 4 cancer, right? Somebody is going to get hurt, and it's going to cost money.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's really innovative. And the way you're thinking, you're making it. So what I was giving you an example was, I at one point was doing a little bit of marketing for a cancer DNA testing, where it was more ones that were covered by the government, but it was only involving specifically looking at the next person, your family. That, so let's say you have cancer, or you've had cancer one time, the test would show if your family members can have it. This is far different. This is really looking at the individual, this process. And this is huge, because imagine how this is going to change healthcare.
Mm-hmm. It's going to change healthcare.
It's going to totally change healthcare. Because literally, you've heard people that have back pain, then they die of cancer 3 weeks later. I mean, it's like, meaning they ignored pain. Now by doing this, it's like a checkup for yourself, and you see it and you can monitor it. And hopefully the healthcare system sees this is going to be a big thing. And it almost seems like what you did in telemedicine. You're going to have a lot of back fighting and a lot of, no, we don't want this. This is going to mess up all the times they visit the hospital or the doctor. Yeah. But at one point, you're going to win, right?
So, I was recently talking to a major medical entity whose name I won't say. And they said, I felt like it was back in 2004 again. They said, what you're doing is unethical and it should be illegal. They felt like using genomics to preemptively be aware of potential medical issues is unethical and it should be illegal. That's what they told them.
Well, I am excited for this because so many people with cancer, so many people that have certain illnesses. Well, it's not just cancer that people die from. You could probably see a proclivity of people that could have high blood pressure later on, right? Through these tests and say, hey, if you are borderline now, stop. It's going to be serious and be able to see this stuff firsthand. It's going to transform medicine and make it maybe more affordable for the customer down the line with what you're doing.
Right. And I think there's another very interesting spin off from this that we've learned over the last year. And that is the things that we do to inspire the immune system to stay strong. So if you use COVID as an example, I'm not going to mention any of the things, but lots of people said, do this, do this, do this. And when you get it, symptoms will be less. If you think about an example like this, if your immune system is strong, it can fight things off.
Yes.
Right. And the things that you would do to make your immune system strong, interestingly, are the same things that, as you and I are getting a little gray here.
No, I have to shave again. I make sure that I look younger when I shave. I don't want to color.
There are a lot of great thinkers these days that are working on solving the problem of longevity.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a flippant phrase going around that 60 is the new 40. And, it might be a little bit flippant, but within 10 years, I think we're going to be able to say 100 is the new 30.
Because you're totally living my goal is to reverse aging. And the process you talked about, the areas to get involved in, that is big. We got to get on a pace to want to live longer, healthier lives. And you are on the cusp of figuring this out. And then by that time that business is sold, you'll come up with something that'll have us lived over 200. Look out.
there's a local physician named Jeff Gladden. He's probably the preeminent longevity doc in the world, and he's over in Las Colinas.
Really?
I
definitely want to go.
Just look at Gladden Longevity, or maybe get him on your show.
I'm going to definitely get him on my show, no doubt. That's for sure.
yeah. So he's really good at podcasts. He does a lot of them himself. So, but he's the one who's saying 100 is the new 30, and you know, he's one of the guys who is going to help make that happen.
Okay.
And you know, his version of it isn't, you know, imagine a person at 100 who can still get up and go to the movies or walk around the block. His version of it is somebody who's 100 who can knock out the same 10K times that they were knocking out when they were 30, who looks like they looked when they were 30. Yeah, that's what we need, right?
No, I mean, I'm trying to. If you looked at me a year ago, I've reversed my aging already. So there you go. See it.
Well, so that, you know, there is a very strong medical and scientific school of thought that's defining the difference between chronological age and biological age. So if I ask you, hey, Neil, when were you born or how old were you? You'll think, okay, I was born on this date, do the math. Okay, I'm this number of years old. But we've all met people who maybe we went to high school with and we go, oh my gosh, you look so old. We don't say this to them, but we're thinking that, right? how did you graduate from high school with me? You look ancient. But then there's also those people in the high school class, you look at them and you go, you haven't aged a bit.
Right.
And so that's becoming a science. So what did those people do? Was it just luck of the genome, or were they doing things that kept them younger? And you just said, you know, you're younger now than you were last year. And there's a lot of people that are doing things so that when they do biological age testing are younger. And, you know, I think Dave Asprey is the one who says, you know, if you can just move backwards 1 year for every year, you'll live forever. Right.
So you've read Dave Asprey's work then?
I when I do my Sunday runs, I listen to podcasts, and Asprey's one of the ones I like.
Oh, great. Definitely a lot of, we have some real, connection in a way. And it's so cool that we're that close from each other. Where can people learn about this Recuro Health? Because I'm telling you, it seems so innovative. People go, where can they go? The best place.
Well, you know, post my LinkedIn. People can get to me through LinkedIn. That's the easiest path. As you know, sometimes I don't get to it every day.
Hey, you're a busy guy and a successful guy. So no, I'm not going to knock that.
LinkedIn is a really good way to do it. Our website is RECURO, recurohealth.com.
Okay, fantastic. Did you sell that other company too, the Teladoc company?
That Teladoc company?
Yeah.
I grew it to the point where we needed to bring in somebody who knew healthcare way better than me, and we did. And so I hung on to my stock as long as I could. Jason Gorvick is the guy who came in and took my CEO slot, and he's done a good job with it.
That's the success, right? Growing a business, selling it, and have another baby. And mm-hmm. You said it's your drug. It's Michael's drug.
The child thing. So you correctly stated it. You know, those of us who are entrepreneurs, you know, we think of our companies as our children. Now, my daughter and my sons, you know, they definitely are higher in the pecking order than the companies. But when I think about Teladoc and the things that we did were so innovative, but now they're mainstream.
Right.
Recuro is innovative again. So I look at the two of them and I say, Teladoc, Recuro. Recuro is the prodigy. Hey, Teladoc, don't race against Recuro, because we know who's going to win that one.
Recuro's winning.
Yeah.
I already know that. Because if you put this together in the right way, which it sounds like, and get people to buy into their health more. Mm-hmm. I love the fact about longevity that you're into that, because that's the next thing you need to invest in.
Yep.
Then you got to get into space too. because again, health and space, that's going to be a big thing too. Be ready. This is an innovative time, and you look like you figured it out before anybody else. So I appreciate it, Michael, you stopping by. It was such a fun conversation, and I definitely have to have you on again.
All right. Well, tell Huey Lewis hello for me.
I will. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.